Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with Luck's decision. Andrew Luck's surprise retirement sparked shock, angst, sadness, bad takes, booze, and rather predictably, vilification of the game that made him rich and famous. The New York Times couldn't resist using Luck to further its exaggerated narrative that football leaves a large portion of its combatants broken. Writing, quote, "The debate over Luck's retirement comes amid a reckoning over the long-term health complications many retired football players face, including brain trauma and suicide." The Times quoted USA Today columnist Dan Wolkin, who wrote, "Do you want to spend several more years putting your body through the brutality of the NFL, or do you want to take the freedom you've earned and do something else that won't put your long-term health at risk?" Knowing what we know now about football, anyone who criticizes a player for choosing the latter comes off like a troglodyte whose grasp of humanity runs no deeper than what to call on 3rd-and-3. But it wasn't just the media that came for football. Over the weekend, the key to damaging the brand of any successful business is to convince the people benefiting the most from the business to hate it and to speak against it. Former NFL tight end Martellus Bennett tweeted, "Football doesn't care about players. Players are starting to realize that more and more. The game gets what it needs from you, then moves on. Now that players are getting what they need from the game and moving on, it's effing up the ecosystem." Yeah. After earning millions of dollars and transforming their lives and the lives of their family members, we need more NFL players to F up the ecosystem of the NFL. Let's burn it down in the memory of Andrew Luck. Never mind the fact Andrew Luck doesn't appear to have any interest in burning football to the ground. Luck is a legacy football player. His dad played in the NFL. His dad is the commissioner of the new XFL. Luck seemed genuinely heartbroken Saturday night about leaving the game. From my point of view, Luck's retirement at the age of 29 isn't an indictment of the game or Andrew Luck. It's a statement about how much more fair the NFL has become thanks to the influx of television money. 40 years ago, Luck would have had far more difficult choice to make about retirement. Fran Tarkenton was the highest paid quarterback at around $350,000. O.J. Simpson was the highest paid player at about $800,000. 30 years ago, the 49ers paid Joe Montana $1.3 million. In 7 seasons, Luck earned nearly $100 million. He had the option to retire because the game has been good to him financially. Had he played during his father's era, he would likely continue rehabbing every injury until the moment the Indianapolis Colts decided they no longer wanted him. Luck's retirement is a positive story for football. It illustrates how the rewards of the modern NFL justify the risk, how escalating salaries give the players leverage to make decisions that make sense for them. The average NFL salary is more than $2 million a year. The median NFL salary is around $900,000. What median means is that if you bump into an NFL player, he's probably earning $900,000. You know what that means? If they had the talent, the people vilifying the NFL would probably abandon what they're doing to play pro football. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst T.J. Housmanzada and the NFL Network's Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, yes. Get us rolling. Does Andrew Luck's retirement say something good or bad about the NFL?
To answer that question explicitly, it's a mixed bag of nuts. It says something good and bad about the NFL. But let me tell you why he retired. And I know this personally from my own experiences, from having 4 surgeries in 3 years in my prime years, and for falling off the cliff in perception to everyone else, realizing internally what was really going on. Andrew Luck retired because he finally realized he could no longer be Andrew Luck. I remember when I came to that realization, but this story is about Andrew Luck. Let's talk about the rehab cycle. Let's talk about climbing up that mountain, and as soon as you get to the top and you're ready, been eating right, getting a proper rest, go out there, doing the right things on the practice field, and because of the fickleness of the game, it knocks you all the way back down to the bottom. But you climb up again because you're Andrew Luck, and you do that again and again. And not only does it rob you of your joy, but it robs you of your own expectations of yourself. This is not a decision that was made for everyone else. He felt that no longer can I go out there and show example who I am in potential. When you lose that, when you realize that you will never have the same fastball, some people want to limp their way all the way to the end zone and get paid in the process and decline. I raise my hand. And some people say, enough's enough. I already got what I wanted out of this game. I understand there's some things I wish I could have accomplished, but they're never going to be realized. And let me move on to other valuable parts of my life.
I hear that and say, thank God the NFL paid him $100 million.
Hell yeah.
In 7 years. Oh,
but the good is you can get in, get out, and get paid. The bad
and do
is.
What's best for you.
Hey, I love you. But the bad is if you play football, oh, it hits back. And look, Rob Gronkowski is retired at a young age. Patrick Willis is retired at a young age. Calvin Johnson, not only retired, had to write a check to get up out of there. Barry Sanders, I could go on with the list because football hits back. This is not an indictment on the football. This is a combat sport. You realize what's in that fine print when you sign that contract. That said, this is a great place to be when you can get in, play that short a career, and get that much money.
Yeah, I think more people are realizing how to play the game in terms of we all talk about like raising young people to be aware, to have other interests outside of ball, to use ball as a vehicle to elevate yourself, elevate your family, to put yourself in a position to do things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do if you didn't play the game. Andrew Luck may come from a place of privilege, but Andrew Luck also used football to give himself an opportunity to go to Stanford, to play in the NFL, to walk away with $100 million, to now go pursue other interests. Andrew Luck won. Yeah. Andrew Luck played the game the way that you're supposed to play the game.
Preach.
Enjoy the game. Do everything that you can do within the game. But when it's time to get out with all your faculties and be able to go and do other things.
I don't look at it as good or bad, really. It's a little bit of both. If you watch that press conference, man, that was raw emotion. Like that, to do that is courageous. At 29 years old and say, I've never been in that situation like Marcellus and a lot of guys. I had one surgery, very minor. But I took plenty of shots. There's times I couldn't walk, I couldn't sleep, you can't cough, you can't laugh. And that financial reward at the end forces you to do that. I mean, every Sunday you take a shot. Monday morning, you can't play with your kids.
Yep.
You can't practice, but you play on that Sunday.
Yeah.
And so when you see him crying in that raw emotion, he had been pushed to the limit. It was like, I really don't want to retire, but I have no choice. My body is telling me to retire. I'm not having fun because all I'm doing is rehabbing. I can't even enjoy the game because of the pain that I'm in. And so for me, I watched it. That takes a lot of courage, man, to get up there and do that at 29. But when you do have $100 million, it makes it a lot easier. Because if he didn't have $100 million,
oh, he's still balling.
He would have rehabbed and be like, I'm going to see what I can do with this rehab, and I'm going to keep going. But when you have that type of nest egg, so to speak, it makes it a lot easier.
And the thing that I never hear from the people that always look for every opportunity to talk about how bad football is, and particularly when it's former players, I never hear any of them say, you know what, I wouldn't have played football if I could do it all over again. And particularly the guys that have made some money and really done some nice things for themselves and their families, I never hear anybody say I wouldn't have done it. So, again, I think there was a time, particularly when there was no information about CTE, brain trauma, whatever, particularly when guys were working other jobs during the offseason. The risk far outweighed the reward. We're starting to see some balance in that, and that's why, again, I look at his retirement at 29. I look at it as a positive story for the NFL. You can get out when you want to get out and still have received a nice financial reward if you're at Andrew Luck or hell, most of the players now.
Yeah, but people don't understand the deep frustration you have when you step on the field and you're not yourself. Think about what TJ was saying, the day-to-day moments that are robbed, not only in your personal life, but in your practice, in your craft. I remember the second surgery I had. I had a back surgery and had to ball out. Contract year, got my 10.5 sacks. Did it for the financial incentive. Next year, got paid. Broke my foot before the first game. Now I'm out there trying to validate this big contract. Didn't practice one day the entire season. Made the Pro Bowl. In my mind, I'm tricked. I'm thinking I could go through anything. I could run through any wall. But you know what I was doing? Robbing myself because I wasn't working on my craft and my process because I couldn't practice. Andrew Luck is smart. He's realizing these numbers look great, but guess what's going to happen? Sooner or later, if I'm not out there investing every single day, y'all going to smoke me when I come out here and throw 21 interceptions and only 23 touchdowns. Y'all going to smoke me, and y'all not going to realize I can't hit the gas anymore. So before that moment comes and y'all destroy who I am, my investment in this game and my legacy, tap out. And I understand that frustration. My only regret in my career is that I didn't redshirt. Just one day, you just say, stop, pause, get your body back first. You ain't got your body, you ain't got a chance. Andrew Luck realized that.
Yeah, Andrew Luck realized it, and I think that's why he walked away. I think the one thing that we all have, regardless of the money that comes along with it, there's a level of pride in your play, pride in your performance. And if Andrew Luck talks about, man, I don't have my fastball, and he knows it. He knows when he's on the practice field, the throws that he used to make with ease, if he's struggling to do that, he's having to put more into it. He knows that he's not the same player. And some guys, and I would say it's courageous, some guys would rather walk away than to continue to be a lesser version of themselves. I applaud him if that's how he felt going through the process.
All right, I don't want to address the fans booing. We're going to do that in about an hour. Okay. That's personal with me. I'm from Indianapolis.
Oh, you about to say Colts fan? Did
no,
I hear that?
I'm a Chiefs,
Chiefs fan.
Family.
Which fan?
Family. But anyway, I do want to ask you all, as former NFL players, teammates, anybody have a problem with him calling it quits 2 weeks before the season?
I don't have a problem at all. No. Let me tell you this, TJ. If y'all got a problem with Andrew Luck right now doing this, then you don't understand. When it hits you, it hits you. This is something that you're contemplating, but you're trying to dismiss. I went through the same process. I wanted to retire. Darren Woodson, Cowboy great, talked me into staying. He was like, man, you got to stay for A, B, and C, brother. Keep going. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. Once it's gone, it's gone. So I don't have a problem with it. But it is funny reading the tea leaves out there that everyone's accepting Andrew Luck's decision as courageous and amazing. But when Vontae Davis did it after the second game at halftime, fry that dude. When it hits you, it hits you, brother.
It don't matter when it hits you.
All I say is if y'all accepting Andrew Luck, y'all better give Vontae Davis an apology immediately. And if you can't, then you're a hypocrite.
It's more so, I don't know if you're upset about it. If you're in that building, you've seen what he's gone through. Right. And people ain't even talk. When you're in his situation, the rehab and the pain, how is it affecting his personal life with his wife and his family? Man. I mean, he's probably going home like, leave me alone, I don't want to talk.
Kicking
like,
the dog.
And so that could play a part. It's the teammates, they had to have seen like, I don't think he's going to play this year. When you in that locker room and you see him in the training room and you see him trying to throw on the side during practice, once the media lead, I don't think he's going to play this year. So when he retires, you're probably like, wow, 2 weeks before the season? But you had an inkling because you've seen this process of him trying to get back.
I just wondered when he first started contemplating retirement. Was that before the draft? Was that doing OTAs and mini camps? Like, when did he first begin the process of, you know, I don't know if I really want to be out here because
it had to be an inkling when Jacoby Brissett is the backup quarterback and then they start Chad Kelly in a preseason game.
No, we knew that because it's down the line. I just wonder from a team planning standpoint, did he have those conversations like, man, I don't know, because we've seen Ballin those guys talk about like, hey, he's talked about it a little bit, but you would just like to be able to plan to keep the team because now you don't have an opportunity to really build a team around Jacoby Brissett now that he's your starting quarterback.
I got a guess to that. Look, first of all, let's not talk about this team concept when my medical staff is misdiagnosing or not knowing which way is up. And I'm not blaming those guys because I don't know who's in that room. But I will say this. Without a proper diagnosis, there is no prognosis. How are we going to fix this? It went from my calf to my ankle to my lower leg to my foot. It's a moving injury, and this is not my first time having an issue with you. Kawhi Leonard, paging Kawhi Leonard, anyone. Ooh. This is how it feels. So Kawhi Leonard looked at him with mistrust. He said, I don't know what you guys are doing with my body.
No second opinion, huh?
And then Andrew Luck is sitting there like, y'all saying what? and I fix this, and then you say go here, and then go there. After a while, that whack-a-mole gets tiring, and then he's just stuck.
Here, and correct me if I'm wrong or anyone disagrees, but this is my feeling about football. Every day but game day, once you start playing college football, I think leaving football crosses your mind every day but game day. It's the hardest sport to play. And again, I love the sport.
Right, right.
But the whole preparation cycle, the whole...
Not for me.
The whole authoritarian coaching construct, it was a struggle for
you
me.
You know what, Jason?
It's hard. It was a struggle.
You're really, saying a lot there.
Yeah.
It really depends on when you started playing. I started playing football late, my senior year in high school.
Oh, interesting.
And so I never had that. It really depends on when you started playing.
Fourth grade for me.
Yeah, and so if you start that early.
Yeah, I started at seven.
I started seven, eight. I think the moment it struck me in the middle of a preseason game. We were about to run out on kickoff, and I just remember having, man, I really don't want to get hurt busting this wedge. And I knew then it's over. And even though you're trying to be
where are you going to kick off?
I was like L4.
I'm right.
I gotta go straight into the wedge. And I just remember being like, and literally it's the battle of the bays, the Raiders and the Niners, and I'm on the Raiders. I'm like, man, I really am not trying to.
Hey, that's the locking horns, and you gotta split them. Yeah.
And at that point, it's over. And even though you're trying to hang, man, can I just get through this year? Can I just make this cheese for the year, and then I'll be good? I knew when you're done up here, when you start having those thoughts. It's over.
When you open the door to start to weigh the risks, when you awaken to what's really going on to your body and to your world, that's when you're in the process of retiring. And it happens to a lot. Like you said, every day I went out there, it's like, man, what am I doing? But then you get lost in the sauce and the adrenaline, and I'm like, oh, I'm good at this. But every day there's a question mark.
Game day is great.
Oh, hell yeah.
The rest of the day,
retired. Everything else retired.
Football season is coming up quick, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is celebrating with huge Week 1 contests. It all starts when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season with a Thursday night single-game showdown contest and $2.5 million in total prizes up for grabs. New users who sign up today on DraftKings using code SPEAK will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at a $1 million payday. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. But you don't have to wait until week one to get in on the action. Right now, all users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Download the DraftKings app now to get in on the action. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. And as an extra special week one bonus, new users can put in my code SPEAK to receive a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Don't forget the code SPEAK for your free shot at $1 million only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
TJ Husmanzada and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story. Let's return to Indianapolis, where the Colts are still reeling from Andrew Luck's shocking retirement over the weekend. Indy has invested everything in Luck as the centerpiece of their franchise, and after seven seasons, it sounds like the team still isn't quite ready to let him go, with owner Jim Irsay saying he doesn't rule out the possibility that Luck will return to football. Neither do I. I think he's going to sit for 2 years. I don't think he's returning to Indianapolis, though. I picture him in a Cowboys uniform, but anyway, I don't think he's done playing.
Ooh, Cowboys uniform.
Yeah, that's my prediction on that.
Is that one of the new?
Wow,
so cold blooded. Had to sneak that jab in. I didn't know the Cowboys were in the XFL. Walk with me here. Walk with me here. This is what this dude's gonna do. He's gonna red shirt. Obviously, he's done retiring. We calling it now. I call it a red shirt because I've been in that position before. Then you're going to recalibrate the body. One day, it's going to feel pain-free. You're going to say, whoa. And then you know how it goes. Thanksgiving going to roll around. A little turkey ball with your uncle and your cousins and them. Yeah, yeah. You're like, wait a minute. And then you're going to say, let me check this birth certificate again. I'm 30? Huh. Dad. Oh, let me call Dad. He's working for the XFL as the commissioner. Hey, Dad, how would it land if I came out there, became one of the starting quarterbacks for the XFL, and helped blow this league up? Not saying he's going to do that, but I think Andrew Luck is going to retire as he did, red shirt, fill out his body, and I think the storyline that he's going to return to may be the XFL to help Pops out, which will be an amazing story. He may come back to the NFL, but I think football is still in his future.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for him. I do believe you hit the nail on the head when you talk about when he feels good, when he's healthy again, he doesn't have the pain. I think he's going to miss it. He's going to miss being around it. And heaven help him if he goes to a game in person when he's feeling good and he sees it and he gets the crowd and all that other stuff. Because at the end of the day, we all are egomaniacs. We all are gladiators. We all love walking in the arena and feeling the adulation of the crowd. He is going to miss that part of it. And so we'll see if he can replace it with something else outside of the ball. But typically, the only thing that makes you feel good about it is ball, and I think he's going to find his way back to it.
Yeah, I don't believe he's done playing. The XFL, the NFL won't allow that to happen. He's under contract with the Colts. They would have to release him and okay him. That $25 million, Ursay's not letting him go, so it's NFL or nothing. He's going to miss the NFL. He's going to miss Sundays. If he can get his body healthy in the next 6 to 9 months, and like Marcella said, I'm 30 years old. I can still get out here and play. Go get with some doctors that are with you day and night to make sure you can get healthy just for quality of life. And then once you realize, like, oh, man, I got out the bed today and I ain't feel no pain. I haven't felt like this in a while. I'm going to start working out a little harder. Oh, let me start taking some drops and throwing a ball. Oh, let me see if I can play. I do believe that time is going to come, and I think we'll see him play again.
I think that part of his calculus, and again, I don't know Andrew Luck from Adam, but he's relatively newly married. I think he's going to get his body right, spend some real quality time with his wife, his new wife, because that's another one of the sacrifices, particularly at the quarterback position, where you're the first in, last out, you're basically an assistant coach. You sacrifice a lot of things relationship-wise that, again, when a kid is Oliver Luck's son, went to Stanford, this kid sees the whole big picture of life. He's not just a football meathead like a lot of us were. And so I think he's going to take 2 years. I don't think it's going to be next year. I think 2 years, he's coming back to the NFL, either the Colts or someplace else, wherever the NFL needs him. Because, again, I'm kind of optimistic about what Jacoby Brissett's going to be, so I'm not dead certain that he's just going to walk back into the Colts situation. Again, he super talented. That's not me saying he's got more talent than Jacoby Brissett. But again, I think he's thought this through. And, again, they put out some story, like, he started talking about this 10 days ago or whatever. I don't buy that kind of huge decision. I don't think that's a 10-day decision. I think he's put a lot of thought into this and has a game plan in his mind that certainly doesn't close the door to him coming back.
Yeah, I think what you said, combined with what Bucky was saying, there's going to be an inflection point. There's going to be a moment where this arc changes. And it's going to change, at least I foresee this, when he looks at someone in this league at the quarterback position getting enormous amounts of love, and he knows that that dude is less than who he is at that moment. Think about it. When you're sitting at home or you're at that game and you're watching this dude out there get it, and you're like, that's what it is?
That's going to be almost every quarterback in the league going to feel that way.
I'm talking about where he is right now, injured.
But what I think, Marcellus, and this will sound like a joke, but I'm being dead serious. When he finds out that – No, you know what? Football is the thing I'm best at. He's going, over the next year or two, he's going to go try all these different things.
Is that the thing he's best at? This is a dude who's a member of a book club, very quirky. I do know him and the dad. Intellectual. Like you said, see the big picture. When you see the big picture, you realize football doesn't take you to the top of the mountain. It's a means to an end to get to the top of the mountain. But in our world.
But where else can you get that type of competition for competitive people, that type of back and forth and me versus you. You can't get that anywhere
value?
Else.
But where's your value?
The guy's 6 foot five. He's Oliver Luck's son. He's got one of the greatest stars. He's a tremendous athlete. And he was meant to play football. And I think, again, he's going to go out and do a bunch of other things. And the punchline of this joke, it's like me and gambling. I'm always trying to replace it. but it's in me.
Time
my
out.
Mother and father put it in me, and eventually I can go on strike from Vegas, but eventually I'm gonna creep back out there.
I hear you. I hear you, but Roger Staubach comes to mind. And I know there was a day where everybody told him he was meant to play football. And then that sucker went out there post-football and said, you sure I was meant to play football? And there are many success stories like that, especially starting from where he has started from in mindset and privilege and scope. This dude is like...
Staubach wasn't 29 when he...
No, he wasn't. But guess what? His successes are greater post than they were pre while he was playing.
I bet you it ain't as fun as playing football, though.
Oh, that's what
on
it's
Sundays.
About. We love fun.
Right. All right, Darnell, we missed anything? Yeah. I know you a heartbroken Colts fan.
Man.
Yeah, man, I was hurt this weekend, man. And it's kind of interesting that you said you think he might go come back to the Cowboys. My man Jerry Jones had some comments about Luck post-football career. And it sounded like he had some high aspirations, saying that he hopes Luck becomes president of the U.S. one day. I want to ask you guys, what do you think Andrew would do if he's really done with football?
You know what? I can see him getting into politics.
You can?
Yeah. He's a thoughtful guy that clearly has the courage of his convictions. If you're willing to stand up in front of everybody, I'm retiring 2 weeks before the season. I could see that. You know, it's not the craziest suggestion in the world.
Yeah, look, his dad ran for Congress and lost in West Virginia, so I don't know if that's something that actually fuels your fire or is negating that because you saw what happened with your father. Look, if he did try to run for any office, I see Peyton Manning right now say, oh, hell no, you ain't stealing my shine again. I'm going to run. This time I'm going to beat you for real. That said, I think this guy is going to return to the simple things, man, the things that are valuable to him, and expressing his view on those things and kind of grow from there.
Look, I think Marcel has talked about his many interests. He talked about book club. He graduated with a degree in architecture. I think he's going to explore those things because that's what you naturally do. Because we all think we want to be something when we're done playing, and maybe it is something that we develop a passion for. I think he will spend at least a year exploring those things before he determines, man, you know, I really miss football, or I really found something that I really like in one of those outside interests away from ball.
If he doesn't come back to football, he's going to be a family man. Whatever he majored in, like you said, in architecture, is very well known that he's an avid book reader. But I just see him being a family man. If he doesn't get back involved in football in some capacity, he'll kind of just take a back seat and be a family man.
Yeah, yeah, with his dad being commissioner of XFL, he could maybe run
some team. If that takes off,
you never
know.
Yep. TJ Houspenzada and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to Oakland, where Antonio Brown's helmet saga appears to finally be over. The Diva receiver lost his second grievance with the league over the weekend, and his agent Drew Rosenhaus now says that the receiver has put the helmet issue behind him, adding that Brown has already received multiple endorsement offers from companies that want to build a custom helmet for AB. Mm. All right, this confirms what I believe from the AB helmet fiasco was a hoax.
It was a hoax?
A hoax.
Oh, it's ending just as the third preseason game ended.
You're giving him a lot of credit for being super smart.
No, the dude just wanted to avoid training camp. Mm. Training camp just ended. The third preseason game, the one that the real players play in, just ended. And now, poof, it's over.
One, he didn't have to play that card to do this. He could have just said, vet rules, coach, what's up? You know it's AB, the guy you think is the hardest worker in our sport. Can we work on something? He didn't even play that card because he had a great case. This was not a hoax, y'all. He caught the NFL with their pants down. But you know what happened? Initially, we destroyed the message because we didn't respect the messenger. So AB is sitting there saying something like, hold on, this NFL has a rule that gives a transitional year to a helmet. So for that 1 year, they'll allow you to be out there with hazard?
They did that.
That's what your pants down. Like, wait a minute, if we got brain issues and this helmet is supposed to be safer, why not immediately we have to convert? Who gives a year of potential brain damage?
Trying to avoid guys like AB.
Okay, all I'm saying is the unintended consequences, which are actually positive in this case, were the sponsorship, were the loss of practicing in training camp. But that wasn't the initial intent. The initial intent was sincere to his heart, and he had a great case, but no one was listening to him. Plus,
he lost both grievances.
Who is involved with both grievances? Like, hey, I got a problem with you, Whitlock, but you know what? I want you to make sure that I don't have a problem with you. Can you rule in my favor? It's not going to happen. It's almost impossible to win these cases. He knew this, but he still had a great case.
I mean, I just think it was a lot of just another distraction. Like, we're talking about the helmet, and the issue first came to be doing like mini camps and stuff like that. We're talking about OTAs. Like, we should have been done with this before training camp. The fact that we're talking about an old helmet, I mean, we're talking about an old helmet, like 19 years old. It's not safe. Like, I just can't understand why you'd be that attached to your helmet when you can have better technology, stuff that really protects you if you're really about playing this game for a long time.
It's a hoax.
It don't, nah, these, the new helmets don't look good. They big. I feel him on that. It's when you know this.
Are we really tied to the way?
You in college, you got to wear knee pads, yep, and thigh pads. You get to the league.
Oh, I mean, oh, like, take all that
oh,
off.
Oh, Bucky ain't got knee and thigh pads.
Oh, we
oh,
take
it's
going to
slow me down. I'm taking them off.
Yep.
It really is not slowing you. Them helmets look big. They look heavy. And you like, I want to stay with my helmet. Because if I, first ball I drop, we in a new helmet. It's the helmet. I couldn't pick the ball up quick enough. And so you're going to make every excuse. So I get that point.
Yeah.
Now, the hoax, we giving him a lot of credit.
Say it.
Why?
That's a lot of thought. Now, is the positive that comes
TJ,
from this?
TJ, you got kids.
That's the truth.
Man,
you got kids.
If and they that smart.
And when they want to get out of something, do they not come up with some elaborate schemes?
Man, this was elaborate, like.
I mean, this is a long.
He ain't got to be no smarter than your kids. They come up with elaborate schemes to get out of stuff.
Well, speaking of your kids, they have security blankets. Speaking of adults, we also have security blankets. I can't go to Wally's with you without you saying, my table. I'm like, Willard, this one open though. No, that's my table.
I want my table.
I want my table because it works for me. Now, AB got to be a hoaxer and have this elaborate plan just because he got a security blanket. And it's only three things that are part of your equipment that matters. Your helmet, your shoulder pads, and your cleats.
That's it.
Everything that's else, it. We trying to run track out there. We'll go out there in tank yes. top and tights if you let us. So stop acting like this wasn't something of merit. He just is not the proper messenger because of likability, and people don't think he's deep enough. But he had a great case. It's just bad timing at most.
I listen to virtually anybody that has more than 3 years in the NFL thinks, I don't need training camp. I mean, my God, training camp's a waste. Preseason's a waste. But why isn't it obvious that that is the narrative?
They're going to take care of him anyway.
Right.
They're going to take care of him anyway, whether, number one, they needed him. They need him during a regular season. They're not going to risk him getting hurt. They're going to take care of him anyway.
You think John Gruden didn't want AB on the practice field during training
practice
camp?
Practice field, I'm sure AB wanted to practice.
Why would you think
you see the workouts?
No, he works.
You see the workouts? He do want to practice?
It's going to affect his bottom line as targets, catches, touchdowns.
Let me
with him not out there on that practice field.
And this will blow your mind, but it's true.
I like to work out.
Oh, God.
I like to work out. I got a Stairmaster in my living room in my apartment. Yeah. I like to work out. I also have a membership to Equinox. I don't go to Equinox very often because I don't like working out with other people. AB loves to work out with AB and do what AB wants to do. But when you inject a coach, a trainer, anybody else into the equation, that's when it's like, man, I want to do AB. Let me do it. And so if the Raiders would have said, AB, we've set up a whole little practice field for you over here. Do what you want to do. Come in at 3 o'clock for the team meeting. He would have been good. In a structured environment where there are other adults out there saying, AB, do this. Hey, did you do that cut right? We needed it. He doesn't like that. That's what him and Big Ben got crossways about.
Hold up.
Ben called him out about a bad route. He threw a tantrum in practice and wants to walk in and out of practice. AB doesn't like structure. And if he can do something to avoid having to deal with structure and any authority figure, he's gonna do it.
We just give him all this credit for this elaborate plan.
It's not elaborate.
This hoax, so to speak, and then say he's not smart enough to know. I need to get on the field with Derek Carr and perform this timing, this cohesiveness, because I need Derek Carr.
Thank you.
If I don't perform, they're gonna say, they're gonna bring up all this.
No.
And say, you didn't practice, it was the helmet, it was the feet.
Are you kidding? What do you think AB thinks? If it doesn't work,
oh, he think it's them, not him.
It's Derek Carr.
100%.
Check my resume. I put it down from Central Michigan to right here in the NFL. You can check my numbers all the way back to high school. So it has to be Derek Carr in his mind if this doesn't go right.
Look, I'm going to tell you this, and I want everyone to reset their minds.
We know that he wasn't the only one that had a problem with this. So I understand everyone killing AB because of likability or lack of respect. But Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers had an issue as well. But they didn't follow through like AB. But you know who did have this issue and made a big stink of it? And no one's mentioning their name. Joe Staley. And Joe Staley said because of safety concerns, he switched helmets. He said, I understand why AB had a problem with it. I switched helmets, and guess what happened when I switched helmets? It slid down my face and broke my nose. Broke his nose. Then he's like, I'm going back to the old school. There are people on record who understand his exact plight. Now, put your money where your mouth is a different example of how far you want to go with this. But AB did. He put his money where his mouth is. Everyone's talking about this sponsorship makes it a hoax. He paid money for lawyers to fight a case twice just to get a helmet sponsorship? Do you know that
category? That helmet sponsorship ain't that.
Do you know the category of helmet sponsorships? You know that cash cow that doesn't exist in the category of helmet sponsorships? Come on, Whitlock. You know.
AB has made $70, $80 million. He don't mind blowing $50,000.
In the club. But not for the lawyers. In the club.
To miss all of training camp, it was worth it to him.
He could have missed it without paying it. Gruden is bored, man. Come on,
Gruden. How many times has Gruden got to say, we need AB out here. We want AB out here. We want to work on timing. I got a bunch of plays I drew up for Santa Claus. I want him to run. How many times you got to say that?
Bet rules, man. I get it. I get that part.
Hey, guys. This is Jason Whitlock, and I'm here to tell you about Noom. Some people think that all diet and weight loss plans are the same. But that's because they haven't tried Noom. Noom is a new, totally different approach to losing weight and getting healthy that uses psychology and small goals to help you change your habits, making it easy to lose weight and to keep it off for good. Noom combines the power of technology with real human support, offering as little or as much help as you want along the way. And since Noom is an app, it's always with you and easy to use, which makes it super easy to stay on track and reach your goals. It's just as simple to get started. Just go online, answer a few quick questions, and they'll create a personalized program just for you. Noom can help you lose your old way of thinking about food and dieting. So what do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/podcast. That's Noom.com/podcast and start your 14-day trial today.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Jim Jackson. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yeah, let's move to Team USA basketball. Mm-mm. We've had a lot of trouble putting together a roster for this year's World Cup. Gross. And it showed this weekend. The team lost to Australia, snapping their 78-game international win streak. They bounced back today, though, with a win over Canada. But I want to ask you guys, should we be concerned about Team USA heading into the World Cup?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose.
Whoa.
And, I think this Australia thing is a warning sign. And look, and that's not me blaming anybody or anything, but I just think they have a very tough chore with a team that's not overly talented. And because it's not the Olympics, I just think the urgency and the emphasis and the focus won't be there, and they're going to get caught slipping.
Look, they may get caught slipping by this Australian team that Popovich even thought, hey, man, they could win this tournament easily. But they still played them just a few days before and beat them by 16.
Smack
so don't them. Forget this, right? And, I mean, respectfully, this is our JV team, as you talked about the Olympics. So I think they're not in trouble. This is a situation where we know we didn't put out our best talent, but still, we are talented enough to win this. But there are other teams like Australia that have pros on it. Aaron Baines, Joe Ingles, Dela Vadova, Patty Mills. It's an NBA squad that has chemistry together. Mm-hmm. So let's not act like we can mail it in, but I still think that we can win.
I think they'll struggle. Mm-hmm. I still pick them to be the favorites. They'll struggle at times because a continuity issue is here. Plus, they don't have players outside of Kemba in key situations that just go get it. Mm-hmm. You know, into the shot clock. You just really want to put it in the hands of a James Harden, Kevin Durant. I think the bigger picture, though, and you touched on this about the Olympics. A big reason why a lot of these guys didn't want to play, big nine players, is not the Olympics. It's FIBA, it's the World Championships. That's not the same stage.
Right.
Also, these games are later in the year. So they finish up in September, not giving you enough time to play, to get your body ready for camp, whereas the Olympics is over in August. So now you have a rest period before you go into training camp, which makes it a lot more easier for the big name players to justify starting in July and ending in August.
Yeah, they split with Australia. They beat number two Spain, and this is just a warm up tour of the of it. So I don't think they're in trouble. They're still the favorites, so we just got to ride it.
All right, guys. Yeah, I want to move on to another team with some roster problems. My Lakers. Don't laugh, Marcellus.
Must have done our beat, bro.
After losing Boogie Cousins for the year, the Lakers signed Dwight Howard to help out his center, with the former Laker convincing the team that he had hit rock bottom and changed his ways on and off the court. Do you guys think Dwight will last the whole season?
I do. Yeah. I do. I'm going to tell you why.
Hope so.
I think it's Carmelo Anthony. I think Carmelo being out of the league will shake up a guy like Dwight. Like, this could be over, and it could be over before I want it to be. And so if I don't come in here and rebound and block shots and try to do anything besides that, and they give up on me and do a 10-day deal like they did with Carmelo, there may be no coming back. You're just written off. And so I think he's going to come in, rebound and block shots, which is the way, again, he's doing this at the end of his career. He should have played this way his entire career.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Look, Carmelo gives you perspective, because you realize they out here sniping bona fide Hall of Famers. So if they're going to get him, what they could do to me? And I think this is, not only is he going to survive, here to tell y'all, he's going to thrive in this situation. This is a dude who was walking around hurt 17-12, 17-13. And that's against starters, injured. Now, you put him against the second team, Dwight Howard, who's humbled and focused. Dude's going to eat off of these kids out there. And I think his mindset's in the right place. He just has to go out there and let his game speak. Mm-hmm. Because if he lets his reputation precede him, a lot of people are not going to believe in him until they see it on the court.
My answer is yes, he survives. And there are a number of different factors, I think, of why he gets through this season. One, I think LeBron James and the different dynamics of the Lakers now. You can't compare last time when he was here with Kobe, because he still felt he was the guy and Kobe was on his way out. So that, you know, you can't compare those two. Secondly, Marcellus, I heard you talking about this with Andrew Luck and going through the injuries and trying to figure out who you were going to be as a player.
Yeah.
Until you look at yourself in the mirror, yourself, and realize that you're not the same guy and you come to that admission, then you always go struggle with identity, because you're still trying to be who you thought you were going to be.
Right.
No matter what people say, no matter how much your game has derailed a little bit, come off track, you still don't believe. But until you come to that realization, and maybe what's happened with Dwight Howard through the years, especially in Washington, and now, you know, getting bought out by Memphis and having the back end, we have a non-guaranteed contract. You're talking about a guy that was potentially talked about being a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. All of these things happen. So now you've come to this point. He said it in the past, I know, in regards to him changing, but it feels different this time.
Yeah.
Well, to me, Carmelo makes it feel different, because he's watched the entire league say thanks but no thanks to an all-time great player. The thing that does worry me, though, is even though his contract's non-guaranteed, man, Dwight Howard's made like 200 and some odd million in the NBA. And anytime your bank account is that full, you can snap at any moment. That's what they call it, FU money or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's got it in spades. And so if LeBron James goes passive aggressive on him over social media or anything like that, it could trigger Dwight Howard.
Man, two levels here. One, the production of Dwight Howard, why I say he's going to eat on the court against backups. The dude had a 30-30 game last year. Like, let's not forget who Dwight Howard can be. Two, let's talk about the psychology, which you just talked about, the bank account, how that influences your behavior. I was with some NBA dudes yesterday. I'm not going to say their names, because this story is about Dwight, and this what they said may is an interesting point. I want to hear your pushback, Jimmy. They said, don't belittle the fact that he was with Kobe and that went south, that it can't go south again, because LeBron is as demanding as Kobe is in terms of, hey, man, be a professional. Kobe does it with a different energy, with a different expression. But they say LeBron's still looking at you like, show up or else. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, do you think that's going to come into play? You think this is different because Kobe's gone.
But in reality, he just walked into the same situation.
Well, LeBron,
with an aging star. It's almost over.
Well, LeBron is tough to play with in terms of what he expects from you and everything that comes with it, okay? But I think with Dwight Howard now, I want to say he's learned. I really do want to say that. And I want to say he's mature. But it's not easy playing with a superstar, a guy like LeBron. I don't care who it is. Mm. I don't care if you're the 16th man. He ain't got 16 players coming off the bench. You see what I'm saying? It's extremely hard to live up to his expectations. But if he wants, and that's Dwight Howard, any kind of, if he wants to salvage anything from his career, now is the time that he can do it because he's in LA. He's going to be in the spotlight. He's only going to be playing 18 to 20 minutes, okay? So now you're able to come in and add so much more value. And now you're going to be perceived differently, especially if this Lakers team is successful by the role you play.
Never come off the bench in his entire life and now got $200 million in a new world. Mm.
Before we go further, I want to defend the football fans in my hometown of Indianapolis. They're being blasted for allegedly booing Andrew Luck in the moments after news broke the Colts quarterback would retire. Take a listen. If happiness is indeed based on expectations, so is unhappiness. If you buy season tickets expecting a Super Bowl run or expecting to watch one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and you find out 2 weeks before the season opener there will be no Super Bowl run or top five quarterback, how would you react the moment you found out? Would you more than likely express some form of disappointment? Booing is not ideal, but it's understandable, especially if you have any understanding of the Colts' history. Colts fans, perhaps unjustifiably, feel like they've been lied to. Andrew Luck has practiced three times since April, and now, after all the season tickets have been sold, after families have built their fall budgets around the Colts games and Colts tailgates, Luck is retiring. Colts fans feel intentionally misled. They don't trust the leadership of the organization, starting at the very top with owner Jim Irsay. This weekend, football analyst guru Warren Sharp broke down over Twitter and in a story on his website, sharpfootballanalysis.com, exactly how the Colts organization ruined Andrew Luck's playing career. Sharp blamed former Colts general manager Ryan Grigson for causing Luck's injury-riddled stretch. Grigson failed to put the necessary pieces around Luck, particularly on the offensive line. Sharp lives in D.C. Colts fans watch Grigson's incompetence up close. They witnessed Grigson give up a first-round pick for Cleveland's failed running back Trent Richardson. They watched Irsay overlook and rationalize Grigson's incompetence up close. They were baffled when Irsay gave both Grigson and then head coach Chuck Pagano contract extensions when it was clear the two couldn't work together. Over the last half century, Colts ownership has made one good decision. When Jim Irsay took over the team in 1997 after his father Bob died, Jim hired legendary executive Bill Polian. Polian drafted Peyton Manning and eventually hired Tony Dungy. The Colts were the NFL's winningest franchise for a decade. Since firing Polian in 2011 and replacing him with Grigson, Jim Irsay has morphed into his father, who was one of the worst owners in NFL history. Colts fans like Jim Irsay personally. He's committed to the Indianapolis community, and he's well-intentioned. But they don't trust an owner who has had off-field issues related to drugs. Colts fans did not boo Andrew Luck. They booed the conclusion of a messy and disappointing Andrew Luck era. All right, Bucky Brooks and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Marcellus, do you have an issue with Colts fans booing Andrew Luck?
I do. It's not evolved thinking. It's not an evolved emotional response. And even though I say that, I understand where they were coming from. But this one hit me even deeper than when the Raptors fans were booing KD. Because at least the Raptors fans were booing against the opponent. These Colts fans were eating their own. And it's sad because Andrew Luck had to go on record and say, I'll be lying if I say I didn't hear it. It hurt. I'll be honest, it hurt. And it's immediately that I go to the conditional love that exists between fans and players. And that's why I always, you know me, I'm a nice guy. Always out there signing autographs, cool with them. But I always knew the conditions. This is fickle. There's a thin line between love and hate. And I'm never fooled by it, but I'm always going to give to it. And these fans did one of the things that I see fans do all the time, which disgusts me, even though I know it's an investment to be a fan. And I know, look, you're at my hotel at 6 in the morning, respect to you. To step outside your pride and ego and root for something else that's not even you, respect. But don't you ever put the cart before the horse. Don't you ever think that your perspective and your plans for me is greater than my plans for myself. And Andrew Luck put himself first, and people can't get in line and respect that immediately. It was a mob mentality response, which is usually not evolved. Usually it's just group thought. And they went with a primal reaction because they were scared. Why do you get angry? Because you're in fear, hopelessness, or just disappointment. Nobody wanna hear about your pain right now. This dude's pain is trumping your pain in this moment, but I understand why people do it. But I wouldn't have been one of the ones booing. I would have been that one guy in that one section standing and applauding.
Well, I think there was a handful of people that booed, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm really disappointed in their response. I mean, if you really care about Andrew Luck, as you say you do as a fan, then you certainly should be empathetic and sympathetic to his plight. The guy's been hurt the last 4 years. He came back, gave you his all, had maybe his best season of his career a season ago, and look, has another injury. At least wait. Take the time to hear his response, why he's electing to retire before just having a quick snap response.
But now you made my point, though. It's in the moment. I'm sure once they got all the context, they would handle it differently.
But we know how to act. Like, we just don't just randomly go places and just start booing. Like, look, it may take Bobby Brown a minute to get his note, but we don't just start booing there. We know Bobby's going to get it. It's the same thing with Andrew Luck. Give Andrew Luck his day. Let him have his time before you just get all upset.
Man. I don't have a problem with it. I really don't have a problem with the fans booing him because that's what they felt in that moment. They're fans. And so they care about one thing, the Indianapolis Colts. When they hear Andrew Luck's retiring and they see him walking off the field, their first reaction was to boo. I don't have a problem with it because they were hurt. And now when they sit, they're fans of the Colts.
Oh, they were more hurt than Andrew Luck?
You know, no.
I ain't got a shoulder.
Well, fans, when their teams lose, act like they care more than the players care that they lost.
And they acting.
They take it to
they
heart.
They are acting. We
but
ain't acting, brother.
That's how fans are. Now, the majority of those fans, if they can sit back now and look back, and I'm sure they wouldn't boo. But in that moment, that's a natural reaction.
I just don't
We're
understand.
Not going to be good this year.
I just don't understand the booing thing. Yeah, I've never been to a place and just boo.
I wanted to add this because you guys all know. Man, there's such a thin line between love and hate.
Yo, you said it.
Said it. Anything you love,
I know it.
You can flip to hate real quick.
Well, you're disappointed.
But you got to give me something that makes me flip. And if I tell you, look, I have to tap out because I'm not myself. I can't be myself. Look, I'm here because of talent.
And for them, it looks like it's a rash snap decision. We just getting this now?
So you can't wait. That's why I said it's not an evolved thinking. Because if you understand Andrew Luck loves this game. Look how good he is. Look how invested he is. If he says this, you should say pause emotion.
I'm sure a lot of those fans had some drinks.
Blame it on the alcohol, Jamie Foxx.
Even if they weren't. When that happens, when your team loses, I've had people literally will just be mad in the playoffs after their team loses like they played
Doesn't justify it, TJ. Stop talking down to them.
I'm not saying it justifies it, but you have to understand that's a natural reaction from a fan. That's what it is.
Yeah,
Darnell, were you mad? Of course he was mad. He might not boo, but he was upset.
I'm gonna tell you what. Look, I'm not reluctant to admit. You guys are all better looking than me. You haven't been dumped. You haven't been dumped as often as I've been dumped.
And we back at Wally's again. Are we at your table?
I'm just telling you. When you get dumped, and she may have or he may have the greatest explanation in the world, it's not you, it's me. It's not the way. You're hurt in that moment. And
hell
you say things you regret.
Oh, yeah.
And then a week later, you walk, you know what? She was right.
She was right.
And so that's all this is.
That's it.
That's all this is.
Yes.
So no, you guys ain't been dumped, man.
I've been dumped. I've been cut. I got cut on TV, and I didn't even know. I was like, that's me. I got cut. Where they do that at? Look, but I have been desensitized. I know fans are fanatics, so I respect that. But this is how I've been desensitized. When after a season ticket holder banquet, and everybody got all their money invested, we ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then they go up to my man Byron Leftwich and say,
we're going to holler at you for a minute.
Yeah, we're going to holler at you for a minute. When they cut a guy in that moment,
and it's late and it's a midnight hour, I just say, hey, it takes two to tango, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Y'all got to get in line and understand that, one, these players come first to themselves. And I get that you had this crazy
That's
emotion.
100%, but fans, they're not looking at it like this is their team.
If their team comprised
of individuals. This is their investment that they thought, if you come to dinner like, man, they serving steak. They may come and serve you the greatest chicken ever, but if you came expecting steak,
you booing?
And the yes,
damn you,
damn straight.
Ain't nobody in the restaurant booing. Booing in the restaurant.
You damn straight. And so yeah, they came there like, man, we settled in for a Super Bowl ride. We're gonna make a run. Andrew Luck, the team's finally here, and blah blah. And then all of a sudden, a tweet from Adam Schefter comes out that destroys your season. And then you look down and go, well, there's Andrew Luck. Boo.
But you know what? I respect that because I know that's what the reality is. But you know what's funny? Andrew Luck was damned if he did, damned if he don't. If he doesn't tap out and then he has a bad season, they don't make the Super Bowl run, you'd rather see that. At least you tried. Tried what? I'm not myself. So you want to kill him if he tries and fails, or you going to kill him if he doesn't even want to.
It's not saying go out there and try. It's just saying at that moment, right now, we just get this news. We're emotional, we're gonna boo. We're not saying, oh, we want you to go out there and play. We're saying, oh, we're just so hurt by this.
The same people booing him Saturday night, or I think it was Saturday night, would show him love today. The
fake
exact
love.
Same people.
Fake
it wouldn't
love.
Be fake.
Who?
That is they just be in a different
Because they thought
space.
About it, and they see him at the steakhouse that was supposed to be serving steak, and they serve chicken. They would want his autograph in the picture and say thank you.
Whitlock and Wiley, T.J. Housmanzada, and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to Dallas, where the Cowboys just played yet another preseason game without Ezekiel Elliott, who is still working out down in Cabo. But Zeke made some headlines today with an article in Maxim that dropped. The quotes are reportedly from July, but still reference his much-publicized holdout, telling the magazine that he's worth every penny he's demanding, saying, quote, until the very recent deal with Todd Gurley, I think there was an undervalue of the running back. But with guys like Gurley getting drafted so high, then me, and now guys like Saquon Barkley getting drafted in the first round, I think we've done a great job of bringing back the value of the position, showing the importance of the running back. All right, the question here is, think Zeke's holdout will drag on?
This gave me no new indicators of that because Zeke doesn't have the power. Jerry Jones does. If you think about what Zeke was saying, none of that was profound, talking about who's great in the league, who's gotten paid. Everything was of record, what he talked about. The thing that I caught was the love affair with him and Dak Prescott. Now, this was in July he was talking about, but look at the combination, how many times in that article he talked about Dak and I. Now, listening to you over the months talking about this negotiation, how they're going to try and pry them apart, it was interesting for him to couple them together. And it's funny how this is going to land with Jerry Jones, because if you want to join at the hip with Dak, Jerry already shot the first shot. Oh, y'all want to be a duo or trio with Amari Cooper? First shot, Jalen Smith. I told y'all somebody going to get a deal done and ain't going to be that much bacon left. So now I wonder, he threw the first pitch and it was a softball, with Dak included. Is the next pitch coming in hot down the middle without Dak? We'll see how Zeke feels in this moment. But reading this article, all it made me think is Jerry is still on you. What you
want
to do?
Well, I think the holdout's going to continue because he's talking about bringing the value of the running back back. Mm-hmm. He's got to sit out and get an enormous contract to make that happen.
Right now, all the leverage with the Cowboys. They don't have to do anything with Zeke. Zeke has 2 years on the deal. There's no reason for them to readdress and sweeten his deal.
Can't win without him.
Yeah, but they can play that out. The only leverage swings back to Zeke once the regular season starts. Zeke is going to have to miss some games so they can feel the pinch without him. If he's willing to do that, then yes, he can get his money. He can get the deal that he wants. But he's going to have to do very much like Emmitt Smith had to do. He's going to have to show them how valuable I am by not being there.
I don't see this dragging on. The Cowboys have a chance to have a special season. When you have this is not every year. When you have a chance to have a special season, You can't mess this up with this. The Cowboys are going to have to blink. They're going to have to blink. You can't afford to say, we got a chance to do something special, but we're going to hassle over this, paying out. And what Jason just said, they need him. very important. He's the most important piece of this puzzle right here because the games are going, they go through him. The play action, it goes through him. Pass, he doesn't come off the field unless he's tired. And so when you have a chance for a special season, you can't risk it.
Hold on, but what about all the issues that we have? Because we're acting like, so if Zeke had a clean character record like Dak Prescott has had since he entered the league, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Now, they can, they can put things into the contract to protect themselves.
But you can't come to me demanding stuff when I'm always having to go to bat for you to protect you with your character stuff.
I've been on record now saying it's a bad time for him to ask for
a contract now. He can't keep coming to the table. Now's not the time.
But that's why I go back to, I think the holdout's going to drag on. I think he wants to be a part of establishing more value for the running back position. He's put himself in a position negotiating-wise where the only way to get that contract he wants is to miss some games and to demonstrate his true value. And so I go back, think Zeke's holdout will drag on. Reading this quote, yeah, I do.
I just can't see it dragging on because Zeke has to blink. Like, you got 2 years minimum under contract and 2 years of potentially a franchise tag. And you've been the knucklehead. You've been the guy that they had to bail out. So in these moments, how much leverage do you have? Just that I'm great? And they're like, yeah, keep being great, and you're going to get that reward at the end of this process. But to be so premature, I've been on record saying as much leverage as he has in production, he has no leverage in terms of Jerry Jones having eagerness to stand in front of him and say, you know what, this is our franchise right
now. He can blink. Blink, show up the first lead up Monday before the first game. It takes me a couple weeks to get in football shape. Oh, that when I do come and practice, my back kind of sore. He can blink.
And play with his own money? That's not
He ain't playing with his money. He gonna get his money because he's there.
Well, he'll get this year, but he won't get. Oh, okay. He's not gonna play it for it.
Oh, all right, Darnell, we missed anything?
Yeah, sticking with the Cowboys, talking about Dak Prescott, who's been looking pretty good without both Damari and Zeke playing. In Saturday's game against the Texans, Dak played two series and led the team to a touchdown drive. I want to ask you guys, are you starting to believe Dak can carry the Cowboys?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
You don't think so?
No.
Answer that quick.
Wow. Way to go deep on that. Way to go deep on that.
You on that, huh?
No. That's it, huh?
He's the same guy.
What you mean the same guy?
Oh, no one grows, no one matures. Tom Brady from year one is the same guy. Year four. No, he's not. Don't do that. Rich Gannon was the same guy. We win the MVP in 35. Were you stopping the same guy stuff?
Look, I will say Rich Gannon is a nice comparison.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I saw it live and in person. I was like, who is this dude? Y'all gotta remember that Dak Prescott, like all quarterbacks that are in his tier, need a defense.
You talking about tier three quarterbacks?
You had to say that. That's not helping my argument right now. Tier three quarterbacks need a defense, need a running game. But everyone thinks that if Zeke's not there, they have no running game. Do y'all know who led the league in rushing last year? Trivia, anybody? Seattle Seahawks. Name they running backs. Good
Carson,
luck with
Casey.
You got to get
Carson.
Yeah.
Rashad Penny.
Mike Davis, right. And you know what? A lot of them are understated, even though you got a first rounder in there. But by committee. Now, the Cowboys, Pollard, Morris, Jackson, whoever they want to do, you could put it all together and by committee support Dak with the defense and a running back by committee. Yes, Dak can carry the Cowboys.
Uncle Jimmy's back from Cabo.
There you go.
No.
What up,
baby? You got a big dummy of the day?
You know I do. Most definitely, and it's got to be you. Man, did I hear you set up here and say,
let's see,
it's like you going to a steak restaurant and they bring you chicken?
Yeah.
And you boo? Yeah. And send it back?
Yeah.
How many times we been to Wally's? What do we eat? I ain't had steak once at Wally's. Every time.
Bring me the chicken.
Right. Your little lying self.
He keeping it to himself.
Boo! I ordered two chickens. Where my other one?
The big news this weekend was Andrew Luck retiring from football. The Colts are coming off a 10-6 season and made the playoffs. But with Luck out, they'll turn the reins over to Jacoby Brissett. All right, Marcellus, you think the Colts, you and Uncle Jim, you think the Colts can win without Luck?
Well, it's going to be tough, very tough. Looking at this roster, the way it was built, we know that they have some weapons on offense, Eric Ebron, and that offensive line. That said, without Andrew Luck back there, I would bet the under in terms of them making the playoffs. Look, you got Leonard on the other side, balling out on defense, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think they're out.
Uncle Jimmy?
Andrew Luck
is the Dwight Howard of football. Oh, God. Number one pick, came out with big expectations, had all the skill, size, talent. Everyone thought he was going to be the next big thing. You know, Andrew Luck was the predecessor of the greatest quarterback in the history of the game.
Predecessor. Predecessor. You know what that word means?
No.
Yeah. That means he came after.
Oh.
Too many syllables.
So if you're comparing him to Peyton based off of that, then yeah, he's a bust.
Predecessor. I can't believe you just compared this man to Dwight Howard, man. That's a little low.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard's kind of made a
He does fit somewhere conveniently between Peyton Manning and Dwight Howard, though. No?
Yeah, a little bit. No. A little bit.
Yeah, he'll be a Hall of Famer, though.
Look, man, I'm more of a LaCobe Brissett fan myself, if you ask me.
What'd you call him?
What's his name?
I'm a LaCobe Brissett fan myself. I'm just
Jacoby Brissett.
And that's just based off the fact of my seasoning and age. I realized that, you know, luck can only take you so far.
You stupid.
You know, there come a time when you got to go grab you one of them quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, but one of them names like LeVar Jackson or Daquan Watson. You know, Indy went and got them what's that boy's name? A LaCobe. You know, I think all NFL teams need to go get them a black quarterback. They need to go get them a quarterback that ain't afraid to stand in line at the Popeyes and get one of them new chicken sandwiches.
Seems like nobody's scared of them. Right now, everybody getting them.
Hey, right now in the NFL, having a black quarterback's just fashionable. It's kind of like that period in the 80s where it was just fashionable to have you a Becky with the good hair on your arm. Some of us just ain't grown out of that, huh, nephew? Now, you talking about is Andrew Luck going to be in the Hall of Fame? Hell no. He gonna be in the Hall of Fools.
Oh, everybody know Luck
tore up his shoulder snowboarding.
That is true.
You hard on Andrew Luck, man.
Look here, man.
He just dropped the gym on y'all.
Look, he just like Jason Pierre-Paul. Blew his damn fingers off and he can show up with a glove and wasn't nobody gonna know it. Plaxico Burress shot himself in the damn leg and think wasn't nobody gonna know he was running differently. And last but not least, how about your boy, Orenthal? Well, how'd he say he cut his finger on the night in question? I was in the hotel room. I seen the ticker go past, and I said, what happened? I reached for the glass, and the glass exploded. Cut my finger, and I bled all over both crime scenes. Ain't nobody buying that mess, man. Get the hell on out of here. That's what the hell y'all had me here for. Who the hell been bringing this up for y'all? And y'all want to act like I don't deserve this money. Y'all get the hell on the way
from
me.
I knew he'd come back to that money. He earned
it now. At least like Ezekiel, I did show back up.
Your mind goes,
let me.
What are you?
Let me get to my approval rating. I've got Andrew Luck at a 63.
Oh, we close. Okay.
A role player.
Yeah.
You know, he's out because of the injury, so I didn't erase all of his job performance. I got him down to a 10. Uh-huh. I did drop him 2 points in all-time greatness. Raised him in character, raised him in authenticity for the way he handled it.
You didn't drop his job performance to zero? He's retired.
I know.
You know his next game is his last game.
Well, his new job, last year, is husband and father.
You had to drop that. In all-time status, look, I respect his decision. I don't think the world will, so I had to drop him in all-time greatness as well.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.